You're listening to Awaken with Angus Ford Robertson, exploring humanity's greatest mystery, awakening through awareness. Hello, greetings and welcome. Angus Ford Robertson here, and I hope this finds you very well. So last week on episode one of this season looking at relationships, intimacy and sex, I think it's fair to say that Louise very skillfully invited us to start asking some important questions around the nature of relationship. We looked at what the meaning of relationship really is and how relationship is, of course, a vehicle for growth. Often we can be forgiven for putting the Hollywood spin on what a relationship is and what it looks like, and it's rarely that. And of course, we also went into the issue of intimacy and what's really meant by intimacy, because that's a word that can be confused, in my view. We often conflate intimacy with sex as some sort of euphemism. But of course, intimacy, as Louise rightly and beautifully explained, is much more than that. This week, in episode two, we start to explore a little more deeply. We look at what the spiritual purpose is of sexual union. And then the conversation moves a little more into what the characteristics are of the immature masculine and the immature feminine. And then perhaps most importantly, how we can move from that to the mature masculine and mature feminine. So get the kettle on, settle yourself in, and enjoy the conversation. So welcome back, Louise. Thank you for braving a second session.
Thank you for having me.
I really enjoyed our first conversation around relationship, and we looked at some broad brushstrokes about the purpose and value and meaning of relationship and excavating the shadow and understanding that relationship is not all a bunch of roses. It's pretty damn tricky. But I want to jump straight in with the next question that's sort of on the tip of my tongue. We looked at intimacy, and you described beautifully how intimacy is that closeness, that vulnerability, and more. If we'd now move to sex, just as a general question, what to you is the spiritual, let's say spiritual, yes, purpose of sex? What is the purpose and meaning of sexual union? Can you say a few words on that? What comes up for you on that?
Wow, that's a deep question. The spiritual meaning of sex is that we expand our consciousness beyond who we know ourselves to be. We get out of the everyday mundane way of thinking and perceiving and being, and we expand our consciousness into a completely different realm. So sex in that way has both an evolutionary and a spiritual purpose, because it lifts us out of who we believe ourselves to be. It's like it adds, fertilizes to our brains, to our identity, to our being, to who we know ourselves to be. That's the thing. It changes, it has a potential to change who we know ourselves to be and reach to a space that's way beyond our known perception.
Amen. Beautiful. Yeah, I'm just letting that settle in. And let's allow, if we may, this conversation to be spacious, because I think there needs to be some gaps moments of reflection.
There is one thing that's coming up that I want to add to that, because we are also having sex with someone, and that means something, that it's a shared experience. Mm-hmm. Because it takes us, or it has a potential to take us into a state of merging with someone and something outside of ourselves. And that takes us, again, potentially to a state of unity. First, unity with the other, but that's just a bridge. When we realize the other is also just a bridge to to the beyond. It opens our heart and it opens our being in a very profound way. You know, that's the potential. Now, of course, that's not just what's happening in most of everyday life, but ultimately that is the potential of sex. It's not just about expanding consciousness, but it's expanding consciousness in communion with someone else.
Yes, yes. And if I may share on that, because that's landing deeply and it certainly resonates with what I feel about it, I see it, you've said it already, but I'm going to put it in my own words. The coming together of the opposite polarities to experience union, which is simply a metaphor for God, the oneness.
Yeah.
So in its truest potential, mature, evolved sexual meeting is a union with God. There's no other way really around it. I mean,
beautifully put. I completely agree. Yeah.
It is the dissolution at best, certainly in my limited experience of this, but I have had some experience of it. At best, it is a total dissolution of the ego, a complete collapse of the ego, but it's only temporary on the physical form. It's the closest endeavor we can have or attempt at union, dissolution, absolution. I don't know, all of those words and more. Just total unity and merging, just for a moment, and then we're back in the separate self. Mm-hmm. Does that resonate? Do you have a sense?
Completely, completely, but it's not the only way. It's a very specific way, but that there is other ways. You know, there's certain breathwork techniques that can also take us to an expanded state of consciousness. There's some psychoactive drugs, some plant medicines that can take us also into that state of oneness, of merging. But sex is, so there's different gateways. That's what I'm saying. There's different gateways. There's also fasting, there's praying, there's many things, there's gateways to that, but sex is one of them.
Yes.
And the beautiful thing with sex, as we touched on, is that it's with someone else and it is so physical. It's in the body. Mm. And that also, that makes this gateway very specific, because it's something that we do together in a synchronicity of movement, of breath, of contact, that takes us to this place that is very physical and transcends the physical, but through the physical. Mm-hmm. And that gives us, at a cellular level, a different experience of who we are. So that's very specific about sex as well.
Yeah, nicely put. And I didn't mean to suggest that sex was the only way. In fact, for me personally, my first experience of being beyond my mind and ego was absolutely in the Buddhist monastery for 10-day retreats. It was, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay, that exists. So I'm completely with you. There's many portals, many gateways, many avenues to experience that unity. But there does seem to be, for me, something very unique about the polarity of the masculine and the feminine meeting. And there will be other issues and questions I want to explore around that with you later on. Great. Thank you for naming that around the meaning and value of sex. That's really valuable to hear. I would love us to just deviate slightly, take a little sort of left turn now into issues that around masculine and feminine wants, desires, the polarity. What is the feminine seeking? I mean, obviously, we may be heading into sort of Dada-esque and other teachers' territories here, but I think it would be incredibly useful for listeners to have a sense of, okay, so what does the mature feminine and the mature masculine seek as compared to the immature feminine and the immature masculine? We're just going to sort of paint a little picture, a little brief picture of what those maybe four quadrants are, the immature of both and the mature of both. Could you say...
Are you talking in sex, Angus, or do you mean just in life in general, psychology?
Life in general, but broad brushstroke terms. Let's start with the immature masculine, the immature feminine. How are they characterized? How might we recognize those that state that we maybe are in ourselves or our best friend, or what might that look like, the immature masculine and feminine?
I think I want to start with just making a distinction between the immature and the mature, whether it's masculine or feminine. The immature has a deep need to prove. The mature has proved and is. So that's the difference. Vertically.
Mm-hmm. Like it.
So how we divide that, let's start with the feminine. The immature feminine has a need to prove that she is seen as the goddess, ultimately the divine aspect, the feminine aspect of the divine. You know, we are talking about a union with God. The feminine is longing for a union, an embodiment of the goddess, of the feminine aspect. What does that mean? That means these aspects are around, am I beautiful enough? Am I attractive enough? Will I be received? Am I seen? Is it being seen who I am, this embodiment of the feminine aspect? And a lot of this is unconscious. We don't really know that that's what we're trying to express, but it is that need to be seen in the sensual abundance, in that kind of being good enough, proving that I have my worth in that.
Yes. Is it true to say, in your experience, that this needing to prove, could we also say the immature of both masculine and feminine is seeking power over somehow?
Yeah.
They want to be powerful. They want to see me. I am powerful. That is the mantra.
Yeah.
Is it true?
Yes, absolutely. And I want to take a little sidestep to that and say we're animals. Human beings, we're animals. And we do absolutely have the need, it's instinctual, to place ourselves in a hierarchy, in a social hierarchy. It's how it is. That's what animals do. And we are animals, so we do it too. And we want to pretend we're not, especially women, want to pretend there's no hierarchy. We're not fighting for positions, but everyone is always. Yeah. It's instinctual. Yeah. So we compare ourselves. And of course, we want to win that it's about performing, and it's about showing. It's about that kind of, we haven't proved yet who we are. We don't trust it. So that's the immature. It's kind of power over. It's wanting to convince the world what we are a little bit afraid of in ourselves, that we aren't, that we're not.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting as you say that. I'm being reminded of Jesus's teachings and the Tao. It's so true that what you're saying, because of course all the great masters and teachers through the ages have said, if you really want to be powerful, put yourself at the lowest point on the table, put yourself at the bottom of the valley, because then all the power actually paradoxically flows to that lowest point of the valley. The mountain snow melts and comes down into the valley. Whoosh, that's where the power is. Put yourself at the humblest seat on the table, and then others will want to invite you to a place of more power and more influence. It's such a paradox, but it seems to be you're speaking to that principle.
We don't have the courage when we're immature, and I want to say, immature but also young. It's a part of our evolution. There's nothing wrong with being immature. We all came from that place. We are all evolving. So let's not make it good or bad. It's just a part of our human journey. Mm-hmm. It's a part of our psychology. We do actually need to prove who we are. We need to develop a strong personality before we can start going up the ladders, developing more our consciousness. That's not just about proving who we are.
So that's the feminine in the immature aspect.
Yes.
Speak to the masculine immature,
the masculine,
if you would.
Yeah. The masculine is, the masculine wants to prove more directly that he's in power, that he has the authority, that he's in charge, that he's the best, that he can perform. It's power over in a more direct way. They're both power over in the immature stages, but the masculine is much more explicit, and it's very much about. It's about being the leader. It's about being seen as the strongest. It's very primal. We are animals, as I said. It's very primal. It's about being the strongest that can then choose, you know, at the top of the hierarchy from the immature feminine. Those two are really working together. Who's the most powerful? It's about that.
I love it. I'm always reminded, as you were saying that, I'm reminded how the body will always... beautifully express these traits. You were saying about the masculine being out there. A man's penis is out there, pointed.
Yeah.
A woman's vagina and her sexual organs are in here. It's inside. There's such a correlation, I would say. I'm curious whether you agree, but that speaks to this sort of, I need to be seen and pointed, masculine direction there, go here, stick it there. The feminine is the inverse, but it's in here.
Yeah.
It's hidden. It's yeah. more, we're all the same, sisters. No, we're not. Yeah. So it's yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. And that actually went, now you're speaking, Angus, you're speaking to the mature feminine.
Right.
Because the mature feminine, she's realized that she doesn't have to prove her gifts. She doesn't have to prove all the surface stuff.
Right.
She is, in her mature aspect, she's in her body. She's in her senses. It's not just the superficial stuff, but it's being deeply in the body. And I can say in my own personal history, there was this marker point, like I shared in our first episode. I was 35 and I realized I have no idea. I had been living in my immature masculine, had no idea who the woman was, and coming into my body. And that journey, when as a woman starts maturing and comes into the body, she realizes that all, and this is the mature feminine, all the knowing that she needs is accessible through her body.
Beautiful.
It's not about concepts. It's not about the mind. It's not about convincing anyone how red or how clever you are. It's about being able to be present in the body and feel. Because when we're present there, we're connected. We're very connected to the whole field. You know, if we look back in our own human history, we were living in tribes. The women were feeling the tribe, the children, the everyone. That's how we're wired also. We are wired to be aware of our surroundings, emotional, energetic, and physically, through our bodies, through our consciousness. And the mature woman is not running so fast to prove who she is. She just feels. And that's when we come back to the vagina is inside, the knowing, the mystery, all that is inside. It's not something that she has to prove or direct towards others. It's just there and it can just flow.
It emanates.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. I love that. I felt actually almost sadness and grief in hearing you share that, because it really touches something. So the feminine, the empowered, mature feminine is that. She just owns her power without any need to dominate or hierarchical kind of power over, nothing like that. And the mature masculine, how would you summarize that? What's the essence of that?
The mature masculine knows his power. He doesn't need to have power over. He doesn't need to fight. He doesn't need, I mean, neither of those need to manipulate. The immature masculine and feminine have different ways of manipulating. The mature masculine is. And he doesn't have to fight for this is the direction. Everything will align around him because his energy has changed. He's not trying to convince everyone that he's on top. It radiates out of him. You know, it's the same, you say, it emanates from the feminine, it emanates from the masculine as well. He doesn't have to do much. He doesn't have to talk much. He doesn't need the big muscles. He doesn't need to build the big houses. They will be built because people want to build it around him. People want to follow what he says, but not because he has power over, because he's in his own empowered strength and being.
I love that. Yeah. I'm wondering whether we move from this into the sort of the data, well, I call it data work. You know what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. And many of the listeners will have read The Way of the Superior Man. And out of interest, what would be the equivalent feminine book to that in your mind? What would be a leading book that speaks to a woman seeking to find her mature aspect? Is there an equivalent of The Way of the Superior Man, but for the feminine? And if not, you should write it.
I can't actually from the top of my head think of one, to be honest. But it might as well be my lack of inspiration in this moment, my lack of knowledge. But it is what I am so interested in, Angus. It is actually about women to do their work, to mature, to grow up, because, you know, it's not today that we're going to talk about it, but there's so much happening right now where there's a lot of criticism against patriarchy, against men, etc. Men need to grow, men need to this and that, and we totally forget to do our own work. And that is so necessary right now. So I wouldn't know which book to point at. But it was interesting that you mentioned Data and The Way of the Superior Man, because he has actually written a book for women.
Yes.
Dear Lover. Mm-hmm. And to me, there is a shadow aspect, or there is an immature aspect that's still present in that body of work, which is very much about this big man that just has the ability to open the woman to God, and I am doing it to her, and that's all that she's for. And I don't agree with that. This can so easily become an ego project, both for the masculine and for the feminine, in the immature aspects. I am this and I am that, and that's not mature. That's us just getting tripped up in who we like ourselves to be, but it's completely wound up in ego.
I hear you. And what's coming up for me is that, and this isn't a defense of Data by any means, but from my yoga background and spirituality background, it is true that every teaching can be corrupted and has the shadow in it, inherently in it. I mean, it's the yin yang symbol embodied. In the white side is the black dot. In the black side is the white dot. So I hear you. There is definitely the potential for this body of work that he's put out and others like him to be corrupted and to become the immature. But I have to say, from my experience of exploring that work, if it's approached with genuine humility and love and the desire to not be the big I am, but to just operate from that very, actually still, quiet, humble aspect of masculine energy, then it feels very powerful.
Yeah.
Very powerful indeed. Yeah. And lots of value and juice in there. And that's certainly, next time we speak, I would love for us to go into both the positives and the shadows of that. And where do people get tripped up? And what are the ego trips that we get on? And what does that look like? And how do we deal with it? How does woman deal with that when she realizes that man is just a bloody peacock and he's just strutting around? And okay, how does the mature feminine approach that and love him through it and beyond it, you know, those sorts of things?
I love that question.
Yeah, and you are the woman to answer it. I know that. You really, really are. And God bless you for bringing all this amazing work and wisdom to planet Earth. We will talk again very soon. We'll wrap up there for now. Thank you again, and bye for now.
Bye.
You've been listening to Awaken with Angus Ford Robertson. To join my Awaken program, please visit angusfordrobertson.com.